Hello, everyone, and welcome to Intuition Talks with your hosts, Tina Moody and Kristen O'Meara, a podcast for the consciously curious. Sit back and relax as we have down-to-earth discussions about our journeys of self-transformation, along with sharing channeled messages with you from Spirit. We hope that what we have learned and insights from our special guests inspire you to trust your intuition as you navigate the ups and downs and twists and turns on your life path. Thank you for listening today, and we hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Intuition Talks. I am Kristen O'Meara, and I am with my lovely friend and co-host, Tina Moody. Today, we are going to be jumping into her 12th stepping stone, which is spirituality, in her book, The Spiritual Awakening of an Analytical Mind. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Kristen. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. And here we sit on the 12th chapter with one to go after this recording. So crazy. And it's been so much fun to dig into this with you. Yeah, it's been nice to kind of cycle back in this kind of detail with the book and also with a different lens on it. Do you know what I mean? Because when I wrote it, I was at a different place. And so to come from not only my new place, but also with your lens coming into it too, it's been quite a lovely experience. Thank you for this.
Oh, you're welcome.
And speaking of books, Kristen, I was thinking about this before we came on, that we've talked about vulnerability here and there in this podcast in different episodes, vulnerability of the books, but also vulnerability of coming on this podcast and doing something so new and being so, I'll say casual, but making channeling is commonplace and that really it can be unnerving for us at times. And I think of where you are in your book journey right now, as we're coming up on some self-imposed deadlines that you've placed on yourself. How are you doing with all of that?
I am feeling a little stressed, Tina.
Yeah, it's big. They're big mountains.
It is really big. I've been working on it in different ways for many years. And similar to you, it was a journal of sorts that I kept for a long time. And then during the pandemic, I made it into more of a book form. And now I'm in the final stage of editing and submitting it to be published. So I've been thinking about this a lot, and it's really helping me see it in a different way because there is that stress that comes along with trying to get a project that you love done and you want it to go well. And you want people to understand what it is that you're saying and have it be helpful. But looking at it from more of a personal point of view, I've noticed my transformation and how I used to communicate and how I'm communicating now. And the book has really helped me become a better communicator. It's helped me become more clear in what I want to say in ways that are really helpful. But with that, too, it is a very vulnerable position to be in because my process and what I've wanted to work on so much in my life is to be more certain about my beliefs. And that can be teased out in many different ways, but it's really coming into a place of empowerment and it's coming into a place of, this is what I think, this is what I believe. And I'm passionate about my journey so much that I want to help parents of special needs children, if they are needing another way to look at their life through what I've been through. So it's that vulnerability. It's that perfectionism that comes through where I just really want to get things nailed down in a particular way. But it's mostly a pressure that I'm putting on myself.
Right.
That is somewhat unnecessary, but also too, it's coming from a place of love and passion for the project.
Right. It's also, you feel very exposed. At least that's how I felt. I mean, it almost feels like you know, you're standing there naked in town square waiting for judgment, you know? I don't know why that came to mind. But
and you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, and neither of us came from the industry of writing or speaking or any of this. And so to say, I have something to say, and I think it's that important that I'm going to put it in a book, like none of that comes lightly by any means. But, and I think you, I don't want to speak for you, but I think you feel the same way. But there's this feeling compelled that this needs to be done.
It's very much like what we've talked about with channeling. So I never thought I would write a book, although I've enjoyed writing. But I was driving one day after doing errands, and it just came to me. And it's been the idea of writing the book. And I've tried to dismiss it in the early days, years ago, because it felt too big, too much.
Right.
And of course, the circumstances of my life were, there was a lot going on. I was raising a child who needed a lot of care, and I didn't have a lot of resources for myself. So, but it's interesting because there were so many times where I tried to let it go and I just couldn't.
Right.
So that feels very special to me too, because I know that it's something that I need to do, partly for my development, and I hope to help people.
Right. I didn't realize the part of my own development that came out of it, finding a voice and stepping into a more authentic version of myself that I wasn't really ready to expose before doing it. So it's really, the whole book journey is a journey for whoever is writing it. And I was reminded, I know when I was doing it, think about how many books at different stages are sitting out there in the world. Where
so many, I bet.
People have hopped off the train. And I understand why, for sure. I hope more will hop back on the train. Yeah, it's feeling very, it's putting yourself out there. And there's so many mountains that you have to get to. The other thing, and then I'm going to give it all up to you, is that I was reminded to celebrate the small things, because when the small things are far out, we can't imagine that we're going to do these things. And then we get there and we achieve it. And sometimes we don't celebrate achieving just getting the editing done. I don't want to say just getting editing done, because I know that's a mountain, a huge mountain, because there's always something that's going to follow that up. You know, now it's getting it to the publisher and doing these things. So to give yourself a moment that you've achieved so much and celebrate that in whatever form that may be.
Yes, it's so important, because what that does is that's a form of self-compassion and kindness, right? Mm-hmm. Because if we lean on, or I'll speak for myself, I am somewhat of a perfectionist. I'm less so now, but I do have a lot of passion and interest in having it be a book that, like I said before, is helpful and that I feel good about. So again, like what you said, if you don't take those moments to celebrate the stages that you're in writing, then if you are a perfectionist or hard on yourself, then that will be the tone that you carry a lot of the time.
Right.
And that's really not helpful. And it doesn't help the writing process, people.
It doesn't. And I was reminded through the messages that come through to me, only love goes in this book. And I had to be reminded of that sometimes when I would be angsty about whatever the next step was.
Yes. Yes. So if you ever want to develop yourself, think about writing a book, because you'll learn a lot.
You do.
You'll learn a lot about your communication style. It's fascinating how much I've learned about myself just from writing this book. It's been wild.
Good for you. And I know, I mean, you've put so much time, energy, sweat, tears, and love into this book.
Oh, thank you.
And do you see the finish line at this point? Can you see it?
Yes, good. I do. Yes, I do. It's not as close as I'd like it to be.
But wait till you hold
a
book in your hands.
I think at this point with doing the final editing, it's tedious. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to do is find a little bit of joy And yesterday too, I did do some of that celebration where I was like, oh, I'm done with this chapter. This feels good.
Nice.
You know, a chapter that I didn't think I would get through. So right. Yes. Yeah, I do see a finish line. And I want to go somewhere and celebrate. Like I want to have my book and hold it and be somewhere wonderful.
Yeah.
How with my book. Like my book has become like one of my best friends.
Right. You could come to Wayne and celebrate.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, that will be close.
Girl, we're celebrating.
Everybody, Kristen's coming to Maine to visit in the spring.
I'm so excited.
It will be probably around that time by the time this gets in and the printing happens and stuff.
That's right. Oh, we're going to close. Celebrate.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Shall we get into today's topic, our second to the last topic in the series?
Yes, spirituality.
Spirituality. And I will be honest with you and with the listeners that this one, not that it was a tough chapter to write, but it felt a little bit that I had, not that I had imposter syndrome, but I think imposter syndrome because I wasn't coming from the point of view necessarily of religion. And the point of the chapter wasn't to pit religion and spirituality, because the more I kind of dug into asking myself and then maybe researching things like what exactly is spirituality, you know, I came to, is it a viewpoint that us Westerners have created, I guess, of a blend of the beliefs to form kind of a mere concept of how we choose to walk our path, and we label that as spirituality? Because I feel like everything else on this journey, it's our kind of individual prerogative to believe whatever speaks to our soul. And at times that can be a blend of certain religions with how we've decided to walk our path. And even if we weren't raised with that religion, and sometimes it's somebody that was raised with a strong religious background that may have begun to maybe question some of those things, but also found some lovely pieces of that religion and want to bring that into whatever path that they're now seeking.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're saying, it's a personal relationship with yourself and with, say, a higher power. I would imagine that people who are devout Methodists or Presbyterians or Catholics, even though they are a part of that religious organization, have their own perception, their own personal connection that may not steer too far away from that religion, but it could be maybe somewhat different than their fellow parishioners based on their life experiences and their interpretation of themselves and reality, really.
Yeah. And what they question or what they relate to in love, or you know, there's so many different takes on it, I suppose. I feel like at the end of the day, there's still a common thread that's kind of weaved through all of them, regardless of the religion, for the most part. Mm-hmm. And even within spiritual seekers that don't have that religious background, you know, one way I looked at it, and again, maybe some of writing this chapter was me working through it myself to see what point of view that I came from with it. And what I kind of drilled it down to in some ways is that if we, or maybe it's just me, apply love, gratitude, compassion, kindness, awareness, try to be in the present as much as we can, if we apply that to most moments, those moments become spiritual.
Absolutely.
And if we apply that over our lives, then maybe that becomes our spirituality. And it doesn't need to be any more complex than that.
It doesn't. In fact, using that those ingredients or those states of being create sacred moments.
Right.
You know, they create sacred experiences. Mm-hmm. And that leaves a lot open for us to have different experiences. So it doesn't restrict our relationship with spirit or with God. And those will ebb and flow and change based on our life experiences and where we are at any given day. But I think that's a wonderful foundation to have.
Yeah. And I think it allows it to lack any judgment because, you know, there's some people that can judge religion and there's some people that can judge spirituality. And it's like, if we let go of judgment and just allow people to seek whatever is calling to them, why does it need to be any more than that? And I do right. understand that there's some people that do lean into religion more, and sometimes that's about community as well, and having a set structure because that's what they need at this moment in time. And, you know, it's respecting that that's their journey and allow people to just figure things out for themselves as well.
And a lot of it is tradition too.
Right.
So like in my background with my Irish side, my dad, who is Catholic and is third generation coming from Ireland, mm-hmm. that was just a given, you
right.
know? And his mother went to church every day, and right. he went to Catholic school from kindergarten through college.
As did
you. His brother's a priest. Yeah. And I did. I went to Catholic school for 9 years. So sometimes it's just tradition that's kind of like celebrating the holidays. That's just who you are and
right.
what you've been taught and what you keep doing.
That's it's a family tradition.
And not to take
part of the family.
It's part of the family. And it's not to take the the sacredness or the special out of that, but that is ingrained in the lineage, right?
Right. I guess regardless, there's, you know, if we look at the overarching goal, which is love, and it's also raising our consciousness, which is love, and then raising the overall universal consciousness, I think we'll each feel a pull to what we need for ourselves. I also and you kind of touched on it, that it kind of evolves. So I always looked at it, or I still look at it, that I write all of this entire journey, actually, not just in regards to the spirituality, in pencil, because it evolves sometimes so quickly that I don't want things to be so set in pen or in ink.
Oh, I like that.
That it's more fluid than that. That, and to allow ourselves and not be so set on what we thought, who we were or what we believe in, and
right.
even our actions, right? They can evolve. I also feel that this whole spiritual seeking and everybody kind of starting to feel a pull toward whatever it is they're feeling a pull toward, that there's it feels very inclusive. Like there's no judgment for this journey, that, you know, you and I could be part of the same group. And if you're feeling a pull to X and Y and I'm feeling a pull to A and B, that doesn't matter. Like there's still that thread that links us, and we have an understanding of that, which I think is beautiful as well.
Yeah, I've noticed that in some of the spiritual groups that I've been a part of, mm-hmm. that it's almost expected that one person will say, oh, I really want to learn vortex healing. Oh, tell me more about that. Right. I really want to do this, or I'm believing more in this. So it's an interesting way to be in a group. If that's what you are a part of, that is a welcomed experience.
Right. It's supported, and it's people want to learn from what you've learned.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's what and then you get to learn so much about what other people are doing.
Sure.
But within that group, and it can be as small as three people or as large as however many, there's typically an underlying belief. There's typically something that's tying everyone together
right.
in terms of spirituality.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to all be the same, mm-hmm. but there is something. So for me, it would be like the meditation center that I was a part of for many years, developing my intuition. We all had a similar belief that we are souls evolving. We're here in this incarnation doing X, Y, and Z. Using our intuition is a really important way to be in the world and to navigate our lives and to understand ourselves better and use it as a tool for healing and developing ourselves, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. But there's so many other things that we would bring in to share.
And I guess that leads us a little bit to part of that underlying thread, which is this presence that so many of us feel. And what it is, what is the sensing that we can tap into and that we can feel about us. And especially when we are with a group of like-minded people, like you were saying, and we begin to let go and we begin to trust as well. So like we do with so many things, there's a label, you know, attached to it. And so it's finding what you feel comfortable in doing that. And this was a little bit of a, not a leap, but a big step for me, because I felt a little bit like a hypocrite if I were to say God, and I'm just be- because I wasn't raised in church, even though my mom was, and I'm just getting now to be okay with that. I've leaned more toward Great Spirit. You hear people saying, you know, simply a higher power or the divine. In Native backgrounds, you'll hear Great Mystery often. Mm-hmm. And I think it all depends on what you feel comfortable in calling it. And again, that may evolve as well. Like I said, I lean toward Great Spirit, and every day as I'm sitting in and kind of connecting, I will say I surrender to divine guidance. All that is in my highest good. And that's kind of one of my, I guess we'll call it prayer, which we can talk about as well in a minute. How about you, Kristen?
As far as how do I conceptualize the presence?
Yeah.
Well, for me, and I really love the way that you've described this, is that it evolves based on your life experiences. So for so many years, I thought of God being a male figure who mm-hmm. was very angry and scary based on my experiences in Catholic school. And not everyone's experience of Catholic school is negative. Mine was unusually so.
No.
Several of the nuns really use God in unfortunate ways to control the classroom. Uh-huh. And my father had similar experiences growing up in Catholic school in Wisconsin. But it has evolved, absolutely. And I've had quite a long journey going from being afraid of God to
right.
discovering that the presence is not so far away, that it's actually inside of me.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Yeah. And that the presence is all around me, and it's loving and kind, and it isn't necessarily male. It's everything, right?
Yeah.
And that was just a big journey in questioning, because I questioned quite a bit of the Catholic teachings in school, because I had a religion class every day in school, and we went to church, I think at least once a week, and definitely on Sundays. And then I started an undergraduate degree in religious studies, because I was so fascinated with, why are people believing what they're believing? What is faith? What is trust? And there's so many different religions all over the world. And I really was on a path to discover, what is it that I believe?
That's
what's
great.
Comfortable for me.
Yeah.
And I found that it was just a mixture of many different things, to the point that, it, like you said, with the labels, it didn't matter. So I tried on Buddhism. I tried on, gosh, all sorts of stuff, earth-based paganism. I really wanted to figure out, what is it? What can I have fit in my life mm-hmm. to help me make sense of, like what you said, it is a great mystery, but it's a presence that I feel all the time.
Right.
And we all so much want to have something to help us structure and frame that mystery, particularly when we don't have rituals or rites or things that give us that structure. So for me, what it came down to was just developing myself and always keeping spirituality in mind, to the point that it really just became just being with myself and meditation.
Right. I was just going to say, I guess a couple things that were kind of aha moments for me, again, not coming from that same background that you did, is that I don't have to be perfect. If I'm going to try to sit in a ritual or sit in ceremony, like I'm so bad at remembering things of, you know, how they quote unquote should be.
Are you talking about like a ritual, like acknowledging the different
whatever.
East, west, north,
yeah,
south?
Like that, if you're doing or that. A name or a scientific name, whatever it may be, that they, I'll say they again with quotes, are happy to have us. We don't have to be perfect. The fact that we're showing up and sitting and showing maybe reverence for something is all that it takes. The other part that was a big aha moment is that when we still in our kind of allow that space to exist, it's in that space that consciousness exists, and
right.
consciousness is God. And is the presence, and therefore is inside of us. And that kind of, when that came about, it kind of blew my mind a bit.
Because yeah, really what we're doing, it's not so much, and I grew up thinking this is what it was, when we would go to church or pray, we're connecting to God, to Savior, or however you want to say it. But really, I believe what it is, and what I think you're describing, is that when we take a moment to be still and be with ourselves in that presence with God or Goddess or the great mystery, we're honoring God inside of us. Mm-hmm. So we do have this wonderful spiritual team and presence and our higher power, but they just want us to realize that we are that.
Right.
That's all that's really needing to happen.
Which
and
is
it can
so,
be is so simple, right?
It's so simple. So therefore it's so crazy and it's hard to fathom or hard to believe at times. And we need that reminder that it's that simple, like over and over and over again. But there's also our guides. And sometimes we don't know exactly who that is. But for me, and I didn't really get into this much in the book because it was coming about as I was wrapping up the book in many ways, is for me, it comes through automatic writing. For other people, they can sense or they can hear or they can see. But I thought it might be interesting to touch on that and how that can come into play for guidance for us as well.
I think it's such a big part of my daily life to communicate with my guides, whether it's happening every day or once a week or what right. have you, just having that experience and knowing that that is available to me.
It's like a spiritual sounding board.
Yes. And I annoy the crap out of them too. Will you please help me with this? They're like, oh my God.
Sometimes I get, you know, the answer.
Well, most of my experiences talking to my spirit guides, especially when I channel, and I write this in the book, it's so funny, Tina, they will not answer my questions most of the time. They want me to find better questions to ask. Oh. And most of the time, I actually end up answering my own questions.
Right.
And it's annoying. It is so annoying because they're making me work and I'm tired.
We want them to be Siri or Google search, and that's not the purpose.
They're like, well, you need to come up with a better question. I'm like, I don't want to. So you know what? Your guides aren't that serious.
Yes. And we've talked about that.
There's
definitely
actually.
Some humor there for sure. The other part, and this was not part of my life again, because I wasn't necessarily raised in church, was prayer. And I would give eye rolls and this and that. But I will say it has been probably the most pleasant addition to my life since starting this journey. And I think it's because it's a ritual in many ways. And I guess it could be like a ritual for gratitude and intention as I start my day, because I'm sitting and acknowledging and thanking people. And it doesn't have to be crazy. And never would I have imagined that I would do it. But creating a daily prayer ritual is just, it's a great way to connect to the spiritual world, I feel like.
Oh, it's beautiful. It really sets my day, or it really closes my day really well. And you're bringing in, like you said, those wonderful foundational elements. You're bringing in awareness mm-hmm. and gratitude.
So even if you think it's outside of who you are, start small and start with, even if it's a morning ritual around having gratitude for one thing, or setting your sights on how you want to be and project into your day. And it could be as simple as, I just want to be happy today, and finding a way
you know
to
what
do that.
I love, I can't remember which episode it was when you were talking about the five senses, mm-hmm. how just using your five senses or six senses to connect, to mm-hmm. create those sacred moments, but just going outside, like if you walk to the bus or if you walk to work or walk to the train, using that time to be aware of the great spirit, the mystery God around you and inside of you, and see how you can make that walk sacred.
Yeah. And that's staying in the present, right? Because our mind starts right. jumping forward to where we're going and what we're going to need to do. And maybe we're hungry and, or we need a coffee or whatever it is. And instead of doing that, stay present and focus on those senses. I think it would change that commute a little bit. You know, speaking of the natural world, we can get into that where, you know, native cultures have always revered the natural world and recognize that we are all one. And that's truly how they have treated it, and have just intense appreciation for every aspect of nature. It is just so beautiful. And I think we all have so much to learn. And I think that the Native teachings that were kind of hushed for a long, long time are now starting to be heard. And I think we are all going to benefit from that and how we treat Mother Earth, again, how we treat her, but also learning the magic that is within her as well. And having that reverence is just, something that I think all of us need to connect with in a big way.
It's very healing. In fact, I have a chapter called We Are One in my book.
So nice.
Because I learned by one from one of my meditation teachers long ago, and he said that there is a spiritual lie that is easy to believe, which is that we're all separate, and how that can cause so much disruption and disconnection, not only from each other, but from God.
Yeah.
I think about that a lot. I think about how not only are we connected energetically and that we all are brothers and sisters, whether we like each other or not, but that we're connected to every form of life on the planet and the planet. Right. So that really, when I think about that and really bring it into my heart, it gives me a lot of peace and it gives me a lot of joy.
I read something about that this weekend and I can't remember because I'm having a little book competition with my daughter because all of a sudden I have some books to read and she's always reading books. So I'm burning through some books right now. So I don't remember which one I read it from, but it was that exact thing, that separation and that needs to go. That's an old mindset out there. And so the other part, and again, this was one of those aha moments, and I'm sure I've read it and I know it and all that, but the whole we are one, if you drill it down, it's really love.
It's love. Because all of life is an expression of God or goddess, right? We're all an expression of that one. That's how I see it being all connected.
Right. We've touched on this already, so I don't want to necessarily dive back into it, but as far as nature goes, and we've touched on connecting to our animal spirit or to our spiritual guide, and by spiritual guide, I'm more like the bird tribes and stuff. And it made me think of when I was first stepping down this path and I had so much going on and was in recovery mode. We'll just say that I was learning about all this and I was walking down. It was when Tom was still living someplace else, and there was a raven's feather sitting on in the driveway. And I'm like, I don't even know.
Wow.
I don't know if I'm supposed to pick that up. What if that's like disrespectful in some way? And so I didn't pick it up. And like the next day or whatever, and I'm probably butchering, it's been a few years now, we went to go for a bike ride. And there's another one.
No.
What the heck? And it happened like on the third time, like in a very short period. I'm like, I guess.
You saw raven's feather three times?
Yes. But the funny thing is that we went to, for those that know Maine, we have Portland Headlight and there's a beautiful park around it. And so I was there with my sister and we were playing Frisbee and there was a bunch of, the kids were all there. And I went over to get either Frisbee or ball. And these big ravens had been up in the tree near the parking lot. And one was just making a lot of noise. So I head over like straight toward it. And I look down and there's a raven's feather sitting there.
Oh,
and so I ran back and I got Michelle because I was always so giddy because all this stuff was new. I'm like, Michelle, walk. And she's like, well, it's for you. You have to pick it up. And I didn't want like Tom to see or the kids to see or anything to know. So I'm like picking up and hiding it and like running. But for, I would say probably 3 years, that was the last when I finally picked that one up. And I think it was the third one. That was the last one I saw for years until, I don't know, a couple
of
years ago.
And what do you think that meant? Are you willing to share?
I think that's my, like of the bird tribe is my spirit guide. And
yes.
And so there's so much magic has come with that in learning.
They're asking you to connect with them.
Yes.
Oh God, I love
and
that.
And so I know for some of you out there, it may seem crazy, but
I think most people who are listening don't think it's crazy.
That's true. If you've listened this far in, welcome aboard the crazy train.
So that is, yeah. So they were asking you, and especially the bird, the raven that was squawking, really trying to get your attention.
Yeah. Well, I was reminded not to keep going down these paths, but it's when we start awakening to it. Years and years ago, here at the house, there was I was outside and things weren't necessarily the best, we'll just say. And I was outside and I had always said that these ravens own the swamp. We have some wetlands next to us and they would dictate. I mean, they would run a fox out of here that would be trying to get across to get steal the neighbor's chickens or whatever. They commanded this area. Mm-hmm. And I was on the driveway and I was about to come back toward the house and they started making the largest noise. And all of a sudden I just heard noise. I heard birds and I ducked down and this, I don't even know how many, 50 crows came out of, because we have a circular driveway, came out of the center of the driveway, it swooped down where I was and up over the house.
Stop.
Seriously.
How and often I talked, does that happen, people?
It was insane. It was almost like they were commanding like these oars. I know, again, it sounds crazy, but that was before.
It doesn't though. That's what's happening for you.
Right. And it was way before this journey began. And, but I've always logged that in. And so there's, they come about in really cool, beautiful times. Not all the time by any means. So, you know, we listen sometimes and we pay attention and we find it fascinating and it makes us giggle. And what harm does all that do, right?
Well, it speaks to what you're saying about being mindful, being present, being aware of our surroundings, using our senses, like mm-hmm. our eyes and our ears.
The whole looking up thing, like we've talked
looking
about.
Looking up, right? Being really curious. And signs and synchronicities are ways, again, we've said this many times, of how the spirit world will try to get our attention. They'll try to help us, guide us as much as they can, because they're not going to do all of the work for us. And there is so much more too, like the great mystery that we don't know, and just being open and seeing what's coming into our life that can help us direct it in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote down an exercise and I think it was in the book, but it's really simple one. And even if it's 5 minutes, it's go sit someplace in nature that calls to you and take your deep breaths to just slow things down, because normally our shoulders are up around our ears and we need those breaths to just kind of let some of that go and sit in the stillness. I mean, connecting to the senses is a beautiful place, but this is finding that stillness and being present with it and having gratitude for it and realizing how big this all is and kind of feel the power. And you may feel silly, and that's okay. But I think there's so much power within it, and there's so many things that will start coming out, and you'll start sensing things that you may not know what it is or who it is. And that's okay too.
That's beautiful.
I think we kind of went through what the intent of the chapter really was. And again, it wasn't pitting religion against spirituality. It's just we're all on this path seeking what it is that calls to us in any moment. And sometimes that's learning more about something and taking bits of it or modifying it and keeping things or letting things go and developing kind of our version of spirituality. And that can be different from the people in your house or your best friend or whoever it is. And it's really all connecting to that universal consciousness and finding your place in it, really.
And spirituality can be a journey in and of itself. We may find that we really want to learn Aikido or Qigong or Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
And that will bring us to a certain place in our spiritual development. And then we may want to continue, or we may have life circumstances that we can't, because we say we have to move or change teachers. Perhaps the next teacher or the next class doesn't feel like a good fit.
So true.
And it's okay that we let it go, because even during that place of not knowing, and we may feel like we don't want to continue that practice, but we're looking for something else. It's that in-between time that can create some anxiety, because it is a state of not knowing, but it's a wonderful place to be if we can develop tolerance for being in that uncertainty, because something will come.
Right.
Whether
it you comes, retain whatever that experience
that's right.
was.
That's right. And I believe a spiritual journey, trying to come to a deeper place of what that is for us, is such a magical one because we can try so many different things. And right. eventually, I think it just builds on each other. Yeah. Those experiences build and build and build. And it can take us into so many different new paths on our life.
Yeah.
And to people who do have a religious background, there's spirituality in that religion too.
Right. Yeah.
Like I was saying before. So I know some Catholics who love going to church because they love the ritual. They love mm-hmm. the community. They love the building. It gives them that feeling of familiarity because it's mm-hmm. part of their lineage.
Right.
But they may not agree with half of it as far as the doctrine goes.
Right.
And I think that the more I've tried, the more spiritual hats I've tried on and developed over time, I've taken little pieces of it, like mm-hmm. what I was saying before, like Buddhism or Hinduism or my love of Native American tradition and how much that has taught me in the classes that I've taken about it and the books that I've read. But really, I believe what it does, at least for me, is it's teaching me more about who I am
mm-hmm.
and how I want to be in the world.
Right.
Because I believe spirituality is not so much what we believe in our head or even feel, but I believe it's how we live.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
So being spiritual should, at least in my interpretation, when I speak to myself, is more of a practice in living than it is something that I believe and put on a shelf and pick it up when I feel like I need to.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not bringing those beliefs into practice, then I know I have more developing I need to do.
Right.
There's more learning that I need to engage in.
Yeah.
Because like that kindness, that awareness should be transcending into how I'm living my life.
Right. I think that's really the foundation of it all. While you were talking, it was just reminding me too, it's when these things arrive to when we begin to open to it as well. I know that when I was out in Seattle, so it was just as I was getting ready to turn 30, I was definitely seeking something and started as far as yoga and plethora of other things I was doing, trying to connect somehow with myself. I wasn't ready at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it interesting. Like I had this incredible, like you were saying, yoga teacher that I was ready to move to, I don't know, India and be taught by a yogi and dive yeah. deep into that or go to the islands and bartend. It was between those two.
You were wanting a transcendental experience, whether it was meditation or drinking.
Or helping other people drink.
Or helping and, other people
but
drink.
Obviously I needed a big change. And I was just getting into so much trouble. And we've talked about this. And I feel like the universe is like, okay, you're not ready right now. And like picked me up by, you know, the back of my shirt and yanked me out of Seattle in that moment. And, you know, I lived life unaware of all this stuff until I was ready to really open, which was just, you know, 7 years ago, almost.
Oh,
eight.
And for me, you know? I dabbled in so many things, but it wasn't until I had my son,
right,
that it really woke me up to this is paramount to your well-being.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not so much something that I need to think about or read about. I need to start applying this in mm-hmm. my life. I did all sorts of stuff to become more aware of who I am and not self-medicating the parts that were hard to be with.
Yes. All right, Kristen, is today your channel?
It is.
Now, do you want to tell us of any change that is going to apply to today's channel?
Any change? That it's... I believe I was channeling my higher self. Although, you know what? I forgot to ask. It didn't feel like Austin's higher self. It felt like mine. I think that's why I didn't ask.
Okay.
So
it's going to be probably a shorter.
Yes. It's very short. Short and to the point.
All right. I'll let you go.
All right. Being with yourself in kindness and stillness is being spiritual. You are spiritual. Your practice is to attune to the vibration of you, to know that you are the spirit and the light you seek.
It's within you. Very nice. So that message was not, this was one that you just sat for.
I did. I usually type. So I wrote.
How was that?
It was good. I asked my guides and my spiritual team to be with me. So I felt like it came when I needed it to, mm-hmm. but I was aware that I'm not typing.
So this was a message from, I mean, for this for collective the, listening.
Yes.
Whereas before it was Austin's higher self that you had
channeled in the past for various other reasons. So what I'm going to be doing now is channeling for this collective.
Which is kind of fun. I mean, we loved having Austin's and higher self, and those were amazing.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see the difference and the tone and all that going forward. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Okay. So that wraps chapter 12 of the book, which means that next week we will be getting into our truth, which is the final episode of that 13-week series that follows the spiritual awakening of analytical mind. And that means that we'll be digging into a whole new series that will not be as long as the 13 weeks. And so Kristen and I have done a little planning, and we'll probably be coming up with shorter 3 to 4 episode series on various topics going forward.
And some special guests.
Yes, we are going to start having a few interviews here and there. At its core, though, it will mostly be Kristen and I chit-chatting about different things that pop up. And you know how we can go down rabbit holes with that stuff. So I hope that you find that entertaining. But I am excited as well for some guests to come on here as well.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening today and listening to all of our little rabbit holes that we go down. And I guess until next week, have yourselves a magical week.
Have a wonderful week. Much love.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Intuition Talks. As we kick off this new podcast, we would be extremely grateful if you would share with friends who may find the podcast informative, helpful, or simply entertaining. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram as well at Intuition Talks Podcast. To connect with us individually, you can go to kristenomara.net and tinaelmoody.com to learn about our books, newsletters, services, and everything in between. Our links are there for you in the show description. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, be well and keep stepping forward.